Well, as you can see in your outline, I've chosen a lesson this morning, Patterns to Follow. And of course, we don't think of it this way, but God has always given mankind patterns to follow since the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the fruit that was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. If they followed the pattern, they were living as God asked them to live. If they didn't follow the pattern, of course, they were not following God's will. The definition for pattern is an archetype serving as a model, a type, or a pattern. A model, technically designed pattern, primarily denoted a blow from a root toop, seen also in tup-toe, to strike, hence an impression, the mark, a blow. And of course, Thomas in the New Testament is a very good example of that. When the other disciples had told Thomas that they had seen our Lord, and Thomas said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John 20 and verse 25. So it gives us the example here of the print. God has given patterns for individuals. As we look what Paul writes to the young evangelist Titus, "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Titus chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. And of course, to the church, and the best example we can find for that regard is the church at Thessalonica. And we find that Paul writes to them, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, received the word in much affliction with joy for the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." 1 Thessalonians there, chapter 1, and verses 6 through 8. Our text this morning is going to come from Philippians chapter 3. And so I encourage you to turn your Bibles there, where Paul, writing to the church there at Philippi, tells the brethren there to join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose good is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Made the mistake going out and mowing grass without my mask on, and now I'm paying for it. On your outline, the first thing that I want to bring out is the Old Testament shows that God has revealed patterns through Moses, and they are very valuable. For example, in Paul's writing to the brethren there at Corinth, he wrote, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. So Paul is telling the brethren there at Corinth that all the Old Testament examples that we have are there for us to learn from. And so important that we do learn from those examples. When he talks about the end of ages have come, of course we know there are three different ages as you study your Bible and read your Bible. The patriarchal age is the first, and of course that runs from the time of the beginning of man all the way up to the time that Moses received the Ten Commandments. Then from the Ten Commandments all the way up to the time that Jesus died was called the Mosaical Dispensation. And of course the last dispensation which we live in now is called the Christian Dispensation. So what Paul's referring to here is the fact that in this Christian dispensation that we're in right now, there is also examples for us from the Old Testament that we need to follow. And he goes on and compare, if you would, Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is this Christian dispensation that we live in. What a wonderful opportunity we have. We have the opportunity of having our sins completely forgiven, wiped completely away. God will remember them no more. Now, you can't always say that about men here on earth, but you can say that about God. God is willing to do that for all mankind. There are doctrines out there that teach there's a millennial age. No, nowhere in the Bible will you find anything about it. We're warned of those ages, and we know those ages did exist, the patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian dispensation we live in presently. I want us to look at the tabernacle, which was built by an exacting pattern. We find that in Exodus chapter 25, verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And in verse 40, he says, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown on the mountain. So in this particular passage of Scripture, what we find is God has designed the tabernacle, and through Moses, he has taken and given that design and says, you must follow that design exactly how I told you to follow it. Isn't that amazing? Stephen made mention of this. As a matter of fact, before he was stoned to death, he said, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. And the Hebrew writer mentioned it when he said, who served the copy and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle? For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. So we see here that God has taken and designed a place of worship for the Old Testament characters, designed it exactly how he wanted it to be. And so therefore, they had to follow the pattern in order for God to accept their worship, you see. Their worship would not be in vain as long as they had followed the pattern, you see. Now, in the New Testament, the Testament or the Christian age that we live in, there was the end of the Mosaical law at the time our Lord and Savior was crucified on the cross. The Hebrew writer said it takes the death of a testator. So he had to die in order for his testament to come into effect. And so when Christ died on the cross, that put his will into effect. So what God did is he designed the church through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had all authority in heaven and on earth. In Matthew chapter 28, we notice that's what the writer tells us there. And in verse 18 beginning, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, so I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So what is he saying here? He's saying there's a design. There's a design for the New Testament church. You have to follow the design that I have described for you. Jesus made mention of the fact that the only things that he commanded were the things that the Father told him to do. So once again, we see God is in control, and once again, we see he gives us some patterns. He gives us examples of things that we need to do to offer up our praise to him acceptably. And if we don't follow the pattern, our worship is in vain. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, that there were those who were teaching man-made doctrines, and as a result to it, their worship was useless. Their worship was in vain. So therefore, we have to really pay close attention and look at the pattern that God has revealed for us. In our study of authority several years ago that we went through, we recognized three things. That God's pattern comes either by direct command, apostolic example, or necessary inference. Now, we're not going to get into that in our lesson this morning, because we would be here quite longer than I had planned. But here's what we need to understand. If it didn't come from God by direct command, or Jesus Christ, if it didn't come by apostolic example, if it's not necessarily inferred. Now, that necessarily inferred is what a lot of people try to hinge their belief on, but that won't do it either. Because in order for it to be right there, you have to have authority. And so therefore, the authority that we have, for example, to partake of the Lord's Supper, he tells us how to partake of the Lord's Supper, what to use, what day to do it on, and then turns around and we take and we use many little individual cups. Okay? That's necessarily inferred. You got to have a way. You got to have a way to take it. We use a collection plate. We pass the collection plate. Of course, we're not doing that right now, thanks to COVID-19. But it's at the back door there as you come in. But the important thing is we have set aside a way to do that. God has left us that choice to us. But there's no other choices that we're allowed to make when it comes to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus passed this authority that he had, he passed on to his disciples, which we talk about that as being apostolic. And so what we recognize here is Paul, in one of his letters to the brethren at Philippi, said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And God of peace will be with you." Philippians 4:9. So what people fail to recognize in our society today and ever since the beginning of the New Testament church, what people has failed to realize is God has a plan. He has a pattern, and we have to follow his pattern. And so the example that the apostles set for us is another way that we find out some of the things that we need to do. He had a pattern when it come to the organization of the New Testament church. In Matthew 16, and we use this passage oftentimes to bring out the fact that Jesus is the owner, so to speak, of the New Testament church. It's his church. But in verse 18, here's what he says. He says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." There's the ownership here. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The apostles had binding and loosing power. Wow. But that didn't carry on past the apostles. Wow. So God designed it in a certain way, and we have to be willing to follow that. I want us to recognize that, first of all, as we mentioned at the beginning, Christ is the head of the New Testament church. That's such an important statement. Christ is the head of the New Testament church. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice what the writer here, Paul, to the elders at Ephesus wrote, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So imagine in your mind this building. Imagine in your mind that Christ is the chief cornerstone, that the prophets and the apostles are the foundation. Now keep that in mind. That foundation plays an important role of the building. And most builders recognize that. Then he goes on to say here in verse 21. He said, "In whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you also being built together for a habitation in the Spirit." So what is he saying here? He's saying here that every single Christian, every single member of the New Testament church is a part of that building. So we are building upon the foundation of Christ being the chief cornerstone and the apostles being a part of that foundation, as well as he says the prophets were. So here's that foundation that we're building on. So we're following a pattern that is designed by God, not by man. And so therefore we must understand that in order to offer up a worship that is acceptable to God, we're going to have to follow that pattern. In 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 2 rather, verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4, I want you to notice what Peter writes. He says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, I want us to notice something here, a very important point, I think, that we need to take from this passage of Scripture. And that is the fact that indeed we are going to follow the doctrine of Christ. We're going to have to follow what he says to do in order for that building to be acceptable to him. So there's a lot going on here with the stones that we don't have time to get into, what they must do in order to maintain that position in the New Testament church. Oh, wow. Wow. Unfortunately, what we see so many times is many people falling away from the gospel of Christ. But God designed the church to last forever. It's not a material building. It's not this building here. Now, the tabernacle was a material building. But this New Testament church, it's a spiritual building. And everyone who chooses to follow Christ is a part of that building. If you choose not to follow Christ, or you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are not a part of the New Testament church. Because that's God's design. That's not my design. That's not your design. It's God's design. That's how he designed it to be. Oh, how important it is that we understand what we need to do. So in this particular situation, he has set up, according to how Christ set up the church, elders, deacons, preachers, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want us to notice something about the elders. And first of all, that they have to meet qualifications. If they haven't met those qualifications, they cannot be an elder. First of all, I want us to recognize their responsibility. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now, an overseer, all he is doing is making sure that what is taught in the New Testament church is according to the pattern. That's their responsibility. Not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over the entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So, setting a pattern, you see. They're setting an example. All right? Paul mentions their qualifications to the young evangelist Timothy in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and to Titus in chapter 1, verses 5 through 16. And then deacons, they have to meet certain qualifications, as mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through verse 13. We have to follow the pattern to be Christ's church. You know, there's so many people that believe that every religion is a part of Christ's church, not according to the Bible. The Bible does not insinuate that whatsoever. The Bible teaches us that we have a pattern we have to follow. If you're not following the pattern, you're not a part of Christ's church. It's just that simple. There are patterns for salvation. And Romans, the book of Romans, is a great passage to go to find out all these points. And so if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, we're going to take a look at just a few of those very important qualifications in order that we might have salvation. In chapter 6 of the book of Romans, I want us to look just at verses 17 and verse 18 at this time. But God be thanked that you were slaves in sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So they were taught the doctrine of Christ. They were delivered that doctrine through the apostles. And they took and they adhered to the doctrine of Christ, to what was required of them, in order that they might be set free from the law of sin. Wow, what a powerful statement that Paul makes here in this particular passage of Scripture. Recognizing we must believe in the Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So therefore, recognize what Paul is saying here. He says that we have been given that opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So a very important point that he makes here. And that can be a lesson by itself when we talk about not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There are many ways that we can be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but we won't get into those this morning. What we're really focused on this morning is the pattern. The pattern comes from God, not from man. And so we want to understand that. The importance of repenting of sins, Romans chapter 2 here and in verse 4. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" The important part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've recognized the importance of believing in him. We recognize the importance of repenting from our sins. The confession, we can turn to chapter 10 of the book of Romans and notice what Paul has written here for the benefit of the brethren there at Rome. Verse 9, I'd like to start with that. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Very important. He says, "For with the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation." You know, it's an interesting thing here. If you have a concordance at home, of course, most of you can look it up on your phone now. But if you just plug in there, just what do I need to do to be saved? And find out the scriptures as far as what scriptures say. Concordance works really good. And so you go down and you look at all the passages of scriptures there that mentions that salvation there. And what needs to be done in order to be saved? It's not just one thing. It's not just believe. James brings that point out. The demons believe, but they're not saved. So we need to understand that in order to be saved, we're going to have to believe to the point that we're willing to lead us to repentance and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It amazes me that those who don't believe there is a God will make such statements as, I'm not going to bow down to anybody. They will on that day when Christ comes. Every knee shall bow down to him, and every tongue shall confess he is the Christ. But if you haven't done it before that day, it won't be any good. It will have done you no good. You've got to be willing to do that now as we live in this life. That's what he expects from us. And then to be baptized. And you look in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So we take a look at all these passages of Scripture here and note exactly what's required of us in order to become a child of God, in order to become a part of the church, that stone. And the interesting part is, God is the one that adds you to the New Testament church, not man. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Oh, yes. And then be faithful until death. As Paul mentions here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but toward those, toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. So it brings out clearly that if you're not willing to be faithful until death, you will lose your opportunity. Oh, yeah. So nowhere in the Bible does it say, once saved, always saved. It's not there. Because we can fall away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do fall away from the gospel of Christ, and if we die in that state, we will be lost. Won't have a chance at heaven. Then part D on your outline. There are doctrinal patterns as well. Use 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What a responsibility that Timothy is given. He's given the responsibility to commit those things that he's heard from Paul, those things that are according to the gospel of Christ, and to commit those things to faithful men. And those faithful men have the responsibility to continue that pattern in order to win more souls to the gospel of Christ. Oh, yes. Paul wrote, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. Of course, in verse 9, he repeats himself once again. So even if an angel from heaven comes and teaches another gospel, he will be accursed. It's not acceptable. It's just plain not acceptable. Oh, the pattern of sound words. Faith and love. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Oh, we're going through a rough time during this 2020 year. Not only are we dealing with COVID-19, but then we're also dealing with people who have been burning buildings, people who have been hitting people, shooting people, drive-by shootings. Every time I listen to the news, it's something else. I told my wife, I'm going to just stop listening to the news because it bothers me that human beings act that way. It really does. They're acting more like animals instead of like children. More like children, maybe, but just terrible. Terrible. But we've been going through a lot. God has a plan. And in his plan, he has given us the opportunity to be a part of the New Testament church. What a great thing. When you follow God's pattern, you become a pattern for others. Jesus made it clear and simple in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are lights. Every one of us who have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, every one of us who are trying to live faithfully till the time that Christ comes, we are lights. I want you to know that if ever you want to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't have to be right here. All you have to do is mention when you want to be baptized, and I can assure you we'll make that happen immediately. Doesn't matter when. And so if you're not a child of God, we encourage you to become one and become a part of the New Testament Church. Build a track rack with new tracks. One of the tracks that's in there that I encourage you to read is Letters to Our Children. Very good, very good track. And the lesson is yours. Thank you.